for another day on the topic of Mu'ad La'adam, we have a Mu'ad La'ahima. And let's use this as an opportunity to be mamik a little bit more into the din of Mu'ad and the din of Karen. So again, the sugya, we take a step back from the sugya. So we have a braisa. The braisa explains to us, told the Karen, Negifa, Neshicha, Revitza, Ve'ita. The braisa explained to us that the Torah interchangeably uses Negifa and Negicha. So the Gemara explained to us, the braisa explained to us that even though it is appropriate to say Negifa for Adam and Negicha for behemoths, because Negifa is a lighter form of Negicha, and it applies to a target which is easier to harm or easier to catch. Umilsa gavurcha kamashvalan, the mu'ad la'odam have a mu'ad la'behema, umu'ad la'behema le'have a mu'ad la'odam. Gemara then goes on to be magdir for us the Av of Karen. Because the Gemara says, Neshicha told the Sheni, Eloi, Shein Yesh Anor Lezeka, O Ein Anor Lezeka, Revitza Be'ito told the Kereni, Eloi, Regal Hezeka Motzi, Yani Ein Hezeka Motzi. Ella told the Yisei, In Lav Ki Yoitze Vahen, De Omer Apopa Ahai, Ilei mahane maishno keren de kavanos il hazik ma moin khosh mi vas yelecha hane nami kavanos un hazik u ma moin khosh mi vas yelecha el told the keren ki keren so the gemara what was the gemara's shakel vitaria what was the havamina and the maskana when the gemara questioned whether shane on one hand and be revitna, whether neshicha belongs to Shein, or whether revitzavita belongs to Regel. No. What was the shakel v'tarya? What was Haman? What was Maskana? Go ahead. So in what way?
That stomping on Kalim should be Rego.
Because
it's assured using its Rego.
So in terms of the Gemara says that maybe the Tolda should be based on Tzuris Hezek, on the way the Maisa Hezek. Right? Just like when it comes to Malachis and Shabbos, so we explain that you can say that every Av has a Maisa and then has a Tachlis, and the Toldas have the same Masa, have the same Tachlis with a different Masa. So the Gemara says maybe the Toldas of the Avos in Hezek should also be similar in their Masa. So Neshicha is similar to Chila. Right? Maybe the Avos and Toldos are defined based on the Masa Hezek. So the Gemara says, the Gemara explains to us that the Avos and the are defined based on other parameters. The parameter of Karen Klape Shein, vis-a-vis Shein, is that Karen is Eina No Lezeka. And the parameter of Karen vis-a-vis Regel is Kavanoson Lazik. Alright? Is Kavana Lahazik and not getting Hando, are they the same parameter or different parameters? When the Gemara concludes by saying Karen the Kavanos Lazik, so why did the Gemara say Karen she'ein hano lezeka? No, go ahead.
Can that Benji, go ahead.
Couldn't that also theoretically then fall under regal? And that's why?
Couldn't that theoretically fall under regular?
If you say that it doesn't have hana'ah for being hezbollah, for being a mazik, then it's the same.
No, you need both. You know, you need both parameters. One without the other, you're right. Right? But are they different sides of the same coin? Let's just follow what you're saying. You're saying that if we would only have that there is no hana'ah and it's hezek, so then would it then be of the revitza or be'ita? So it has no hana'ah from its hezek, so therefore what would it be?
We're not sure. It could either be karar or rega.
Right. So if it just had no hana'ah, so... But once we understand that Karen is Kavona and Regal is no Kavona. Right? So, if both parameters are essential to defining Karen, so why does the Gemara drop the parameter of Hano Lehezek? Maishna Karen, the Kavonos Ilazek. So again, the sugya, there are two parshas that we want to understand from this sugya. The main parsha of the sugya is to be Magdi Karen. And once we're Magdi Karen, we'll understand what is an effective way of defining this holos. Right? And then once we define Karen, and it's told us, so then the Gemara is apparently going to, it concludes that you see that the toldos are like the of, right? And when we say the toldos are like the of, what do we mean? The toldos are like the of.
So according to Rashi, that you're chayav.
Yeah.
And according to the Rif, that it's the same type of you have the same. Verse.
Which shita reads better in this part of the sugya? Let me ask you a slightly different question. If we want to understand what Rav Papa, we want to circle back and understand what did Rav Papa mean when he said, "Told us saying ki yotze ben olav ki yotze ben." Based on this line, what would we say? I know it's backwards, but it's that's what we have to work with, right? And what did Rav Papa say? Nope. Rashi, Rif, or a third idea. Well,
like a third, like how do you define it?
Yeah. As Lachar, if when you read these few lines, so the Gemara says, now that we know, we were questioning whether the toldos ki yoytze ben alav ki yoytze ben. So now we had to define we had to figure out what the toldos are. Rashi tells us what the toldos are. Gemara says, what are these toldos based on? They're not based on Tzuras Hezek, because then they would fit under Regel and Hashem. So they're based on some other parameter, some other defining, the defining parameter. We would, the equivalent in Hilchos Shabbos is the Te'elas HaMalacha. We're not defining Hezek by Tzuras Hezek. The fact is that Avnei Sakinu Masoi doesn't look like a boar at all. The Maisa Hezek of Avnei Sakinu Masoi is not the same Maisa Hezek as Bor. Right? And the Maisa Hezek of Chetz is not the same Maisa Hezek as Eish. But they're still in the same category. So we're going to have, so the Gemara is explaining to us that we're not going to define Ovis and Toldos based on Maisa Hezek. So what are we going to define? We're going to base them on that Karen has no Hanol Lehezek, and go step further. The only way that we know to define Karen is because we have to define it in contradistinction to Shein and Regel. If we wouldn't have to define, if the the parsha would not be crowded, so to speak, we would define Karen in a broader terms. But since the Torah gave us Shein, Regel, and Karen, so now we have to define each one to distinguish from the other. The Moshel would be those who learn Hilchos Shabbos, Boire, Merakid, and Zorah. If you wouldn't have Merakid and Zorah, then you would define, then you would, if you wouldn't have Merakid and Zorah as separate others, then everything Zorah would be Boire. Hey, Yois, that you have Boire, Merakid, and Zorah, so now I have to say, Zorah de Ruah, and Merakid de Kaili, and Boire is more general, right? So when the Torah crowds the area, it forces you to define. So our sugya is pointing out that we understand how to define Karen because we have to distinguish it from Shein and Regel. Okay. How do we distinguish Karen? We say one of three or four parameters. We say Kavanos Elazik. We say Ein Hano Bezeka. And we'll say later on Ein Darko Elazik. So we'll have to figure out with greater understanding exactly which is the parameter, or which are the parameters. Right, so that's what we have to explain, whether these parameters are all the same or different. Then we'll have to explain why the Gemara has two parameters, but when the Gemara actually defines Karen, it drops everything except for Kavanos Elazik. Good. Have to come back to that. Now, our Shakal Vitarya. How do we understand, based on our Gemara, what Rav Papa meant when he said Kavanos Tolesein Ki Yoytzei Ben? So based on the sugya that Phil said a few minutes ago, apparently, how like are the Toldos of the Karen? In other words, it doesn't sound like the Rif. The Gemara didn't say that Told Isaiah Shel Karen Yesh Lehen Chatzi Nezek B'Tamos V'Nezek Sholem B'Muados. Gemara didn't say B'Ita Rabitza Neshicha. And even though that would be the din, that doesn't say that they have that the Meshalim Migufoy the first three times that they have Tamos and Muados. Gemara said that they have the same defining characteristic. So if the Gemara would end over here, we would say that what Rav Papa meant to say was that sometimes the Toldos are mamish like the Yovis, and sometimes the Toldos are not like the Yovis. That's what we would conclude from this one line. The Rif would be very, very hard to get into these words. Zev is correct that Rashi is an easier fit. Not a perfect fit, but an easier fit. Right. The sugya also gives us the opportunities again. So what we pointed out, first of all, is that in terms of defining Karen, we have various parameters. We still have to figure out how to coordinate those parameters to make a working definition of Karen. All right? And then we pointed out that in terms of understanding Rav Papa, this is only the very first quarter of the sugya Rav Papa, but we're just noting to ourselves that this particular spot in the sugya seems to say that what the Brisker Rav was discussing in terms of the Rif and the Rashi seems to say allow for a possible third option. All right. Good. Now, let's get to what we were preparing before the Beis Medrash. So now, but the other part of the parasha is it gives us a launching pad to discuss a little bit about Tamos and Mu'odos, all right? Which is the defining halacha of Karen. What distinguishes Karen, Tamos, and Mu'odos, right? There's no other hezek where the Gemara has Tamos as an option. Everything else is always muad. Adam muad la'olam. Adam is a super muad. And the lashon of the Mishnayos is Ketzad Regel muada. Right, the opening of the second parak. Ketzad Regel muedes l'shabbos. So everything is every other of has starts with mu'adus. We Karen begins with chatzi nezek with tamus. Why it begins with tamus? The Gemara is going to discuss with whether palga nizka kenasa or palga nizka mamayna. Is one essentially potter from Karen, but Kadosh Baruch Hu was mechayiv us to make sure that we would be careful with our animals, extra careful, so to speak, or is palga nizka mamayna that we are not paying a penalty, we are really responsible, we damage somebody. But since the first three times are unexpected, so Rosh Baruch Hu gave us a pass, so to speak. Right? So that's all we'll discuss, whether Chezkas, Stam Chezkas, Behemah Bechezkas Shimur or not. Good. How does one move from Tamus to Mu'adus? Three times. Right? What happens after three times? So from the halacha, you only know you become chayiv. But from the way the Torah, the sugyas apply the din of mu'adus, we know that Chazal understood that what's happening in mu'adus is much deeper. Right? If Chazal wouldn't have a deeper understanding of Mu'adus, then he could not expand it to Chezkas Sholei Shonu we discussed on Thursday. They couldn't expand it to the Veses of Nisha Nida. They couldn't expand it to the baby who the baby might be potter from Bris because the two older brothers were Nifter. He couldn't expand it to the Iser of the woman from marrying a third time because she was widowed twice. So it must be that Chazal understood a deeper understanding of Mu'ad and Tamus. That's what I have to figure out. What did Chazal understand of it? What do we understand from our sugya? Our sugya says that if an animal has gored a human being three times, so our sugya says that Mu'ad lakoil. And if the animal gored an animal three times, then it's not a mu'ad la'odam. That's what our sugya says. So what insight does our sugya give us about going from tam to mu'ad? What has to be true about tam and mu'ad in order to explain that if an animal is a mu'ad for Adam, it'll be mu'ad for Behemah, but not vice versa. So our Gemara says, because to gore a human being is harder than goring a... No, so what do we say in our sugya?
It's revealing a certain nature of the animal.
So Effie just took a stand on a huge discussion amongst the Achronim. Right, that's the most common chakir in the yeshivas about Tamus and Mu'adus is whether Mu'ad is kaveya, the shame of the behemah, or whether Mu'ad is megala, the character of the behemah. Right? Both the Rav and Yibon Menachem and Achaim and Osher Weiss and their Svarim think that that is not a substantial chakira. Both, for different reasons, think that there certainly is an aspect to Mu'ad being Koyvei Hashem. What would be the raya for that?
Could go back.
Then?
Because you could go back to...
No, you could. You could have it, you could always you could amend, you could always
re-identify?
Yeah. I'll do tshuva. What?
But animals do.
Apparently, yeah. No? Can you bring me a raya that Waldus is not a beaver on the character of the animal?
Yes. The Gemara, which Talmud Shabbat brought up, that if you have a pen filled with cows, and you know that one of the cows, or you know that something from this pen bore three times, there could be a couple of different cows, you still have to pay. If it goes a fourth time, you're chayv kofa. So it's not a beaver at all, but the animal.
You can explain what? Explain?
Well, it's Rama Paskins.
Yeah.
That if you have a pen filled with cows.
Right.
And you know that from this pen there was goring three times.
Right.
So that creates a ha'adah on the pen. And then if something from this pen, a cow, say something gores a fourth
and
time.
And you say you have not been mevarer.
Which cow it is. And it could even be, says the Rama, it could even be a cow that didn't gore at all. It was the first time this cow actually gored.
Mm-hmm.
And it gores somebody now. Chaya Koper.
Okay.
So that means it's not on the cow, it's on the owner entirely.
Well, it's a chiyuv shmira. It becomes more of a chiyuv shmira.
Right.
Good. What else? Go ahead, Zev.
According to her papa, if you're muad la'adam, you're not muad to behema. Yet, if you do chazara, if the animal is muad la'adam and behema, according to her papa, and then the shor gets chazara from behema, the papa would say that the chazara is a warrant.
Right, so that is,
So we saw this in the Rishimos that Rishon Bishik says that would mean that even though it doesn't work, why wouldn't it work according to Papa? Because there's a shame war that will stay with the shore, even though it's
right. Why couldn't you argue that you were Mevarer? In that case, why couldn't you argue that you were just not, because the animal is still mazik adam, so you were not mevarer satisfactorily, that it won't be, so it won't gore behemoth. So you're saying, since logically, The din of muad is that it now has not gored an animal three times. So if the Torah was establishing for us the way in which we're mevarer the nature of the animal, so then we'd have to say we're mevarer the animal is not a muad.
Yeah.
Right. So again, that's an excellent raya, that there must be some kind of label or chalashay. When logically, when the din is not fully supported by the svara of the din, then there must be some identity that the animal has which is not being reevaluated. Right? Logically, the animal has proven itself that it's not going to gore behemoths. So why did the din change? Since the Rav said, well, because you have to see from here that a tam or a muad is an identity. It's the chal hashem. And it could be that the chal hashem is not only dependent on the alleged beer. Right? I would bring the Rav's major raya, that it's a chal hashem and not a beer. I shouldn't say not a beer, but that it is a chal hashem. It might be a beer also, but it is a chal hashem, is what we said on Thursday. Because Chazal said that just like when an animal gores three times, it becomes a muad, so too when a person holds on to a piece of property for 3 years and he loses the shtar, or doesn't have the shtar, so we say, kum mecheskas. Kama morakama, v'kom v'cheskas muchza. The property now switches chazak. What does it mean, switch chazak? It means the burden of proof now switches to the other party. He becomes a muchza. For the first 3 years, if I don't have proof that it was sold, but for the first 3 years, the property still stays becheskas marakama, and I, the squatter, have to prove, because I don't have a shtar. After 3 years, so now for whatever reason, whether it's because halachas is unreasonable to expect me to hold on to the shtar for so long, or whether halachas says that if in fact the marakama was really the marakama, he would have complained for the first 3 years. However, whatever reason, but the gemara's lashon is now the muchzak becomes the squatter. When it comes to metaltalin, the person who holds the property is always called the muchzak. When it comes to property, so the squatter is the muchzak unless he doesn't have documents, he can't prove it. He becomes a suffix squatter. But the lashon, so the Rav said there is no comparison b'chlal between the animal goring 3 times and proving the nature of the animal and the obligation or the expectation that the owner is going to hold on to the shtar for 3 years. Svamish, she says, different world. So the only basis of comparison would be if the Torah says that 3 events confers a new chal l'shem. The way some achronim say it, the Rav said it, everything there. Why is it many achronim say it? That at some point, halacha says this is no longer a coincidence. It's no longer a happenstance. It now is something meaningful has happened over here. So the first time the shor gores, had a chemical reaction. Could be had a nightmare the night before. Everybody said. Right. A bad day for sure. Right. So, second or third time, so then halacha says, you have to see these events as being significant. You can no longer dismiss them. And that will confer a new identity, or new expectations, a new achrayas. Similar, Chazal say, if the owner doesn't come in 1 year to complain, no, I had a busy year. Right? If the person claims he doesn't have the shtar, after 1 year, then that's very suspicious. If the owner comes back after 2-3 years and then finally complains, so that becomes, then we look at his behavior as being something significant. Now he didn't come back after 1 year. No. Nope. All right. Got busy. I think 2 years. Still, we can't derive anything, any information from the behavior. But after 3 years, 3 events, then we can say, he probably will draw a conclusion. We'll create a new chal l'shem. We'll change the chal l'shem. By the behema, it means chal hashem is that it's a dangerous animal, and by the property, the chal hashem is that kom becheskas muchzak. Laniyas daiti, one could bring rayas. Laniyas daiti, I would bring a raya from the din of from the din itself. Halacha is ein ha'oda ela b'fnei b'ilim. Ubifnei Beis Din. Ha'odah takes place in Beis Din. The animal could be goring all over the place. And I could get Aiden to tell me the animal's goring. It doesn't become a mu'ud. I have to go to Beis Din. There's a procedure. I have to go to Beis Din. I have to be there. Adam have to be there. And then Beis Din has to say, we now this is a dangerous animal. If it was only a beaver, so then that's once I have the information, I have the information. Why have to go to Beis Din? The fact that I have to go to Beis Din, right, if it was only a question of beaver, so the moment I have the information, this is a dangerous animal, I have to be more alert. The fact that the Torah says that I have to be there in Beis Din, because then you can say, that's I have to be able to defend, maybe I can explain away several of the events. Fine. But the fact that it's taking place in Beis Din means that the Torah sees the move from Tammuz to Mu'adus is something in addition to Birur. It may not be Birur at all, but in addition to Birur. So again, so the first Nakuda that we're addressing over here to gain greater insight into what is Tammuz and what is Mu'adus. So Effie began by saying that we see from our sugya that if an animal is goring three times a behema, we have no evidence that it would take on a human being because it's tougher. And if the animal is goring a human being, we have evidence that it would gore an animal. All right? And that assumes that the definition of, or one of the important parameters of Tammuz Mu'adus is Birur. And one could build on what Effie's saying, that if one doesn't accept that, if one says that Mu'ad Lebehema having Mu'ad La'adam, the Mu'ad La'adam having Mu'ad Lebehema. So there are those who suggested, well, maybe that means that Tammuz and Mu'adus is not a beaver. So I don't think that's Mu'chrach. But L'chara, Effie's assumption of here, that Tammuz and Mu'adus is a beaver, it may be correct, but it cannot be the sum total of the din. That the first Nakuda we're saying in the sugi of Tammuz and Mu'adus, there has to be an element of Chalashem. There has to be an element that Halacha is conferring an identity. What does that mean? It means that Chazal, when they understood the sugi of Tammuz and Mu'adus, they understood that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was giving us a din, that at some point we confer a new status on this animal. That new status then requires either greater responsibility of shmira, or greater responsibility of remuneration, of compensation. How do we come to that nakuda? That it's not only a beer, it may not be a beer at all. First of all, it happens in Beis Din. That means it's more than a beer. Is that totally mukhrach? You could say no. You could say that you require a beer which takes place in Beis Din. You can't say it's perfectly mukhrach. Right? Can you say, but Eli said that the fact that you can have a situation where, since the animal got mixed up with other animals, so now I don't have any beer at all. But the Torah still says, Halacha still says, I have to see this as a pen with the mood inside. So that means that there's an animal that is identified differently with certainty. So that could only, but I don't have information vis-a-vis the animals because they're all mixed up now. Not bad. Or what Zeb said is that if there's a din that chazorah from animals is insufficient because it's a mud la'adam, l'chayra, the din of ha'oga is not entirely based on being mevarer, the nature of the animal, because there we were mevarer. The animal's not taking on other animals. So all of these indicate that, and then the Rav's Mahalach, and I believe Moshe Weiss had a similar Mahalach, not from Cheskel Shol Hashanim. Thing from Bistois. I think he says that the fact that the Sugya discusses Bistois in the context as possibly being learned from Sharmuad, so he understood that to mean that in the, I'm going to have to look it up again exactly what his raya was. So now coming to our Sugya. So our Sugya, our sugya raises the question. Our sugya teaches us, as a din deraisa, that muad la'odam have a muad la'vehema. Umuad la'vehema have a muad la'odam. Good? So that would mean that once the Torah is kaveya, that this animal is dangerous for other people, so then that confers the status of ha'odam on behemoth as well, but the reverse is not correct. All right, this in itself can be learned both as a beer or as a chalashem. And in fact, the Zulim the Rishima saw that the Rav said there are in fact two parts to ha'odam, both beer and chalashem. There are two aspects. How did the Rav prove that? Because the Rav said that the Tosus points out that even though Rebbe holds that Mu'ad happens after two times, that Mukhzakos happens after two times, that a woman who's married twice can't marry a third time, which is a Kabbalah, that if two babies died, then we don't do the third. So that means that the Chazakah changes after twice, and we pass in the Chumrah. So, but Rabbi Yehuda Nasi still learned that Mu'ad takes place after three times. So, Rabbi Shimon, who learned the din of Chazakah from Mu'ad, that would explain to us that Ha'odah is only Chazakah. But the fact that Rabbi Yehuda Nasi said that twice is one din, which he applies to certain situations, and three times is a different din, because he still holds the din of Mu'ad is three times, shows that Rabbi Yehuda held that twice is Mevarer, and the third time is Kaveh Hashem. The two can go together. It can be a Kaveh Hashem as perhaps as a result of Bira. But what I'm pointing out is that Lechari, you have to say, or it's maybe you have to say, but it's strong indications from the din of Ha'od itself that it's a din of Kviyas, not only a din of Bira. So our Sugya now, not coming to our Sugya, so our Sugya now, we have a Machlekes, our Tosus points out that our Sugya at first glance goes up against the Sugya in Daf Lamed Zayin. So there are three answers to that Kasha. What are the three answers?
Tosos.
Right?
First answer. That
Gemara is talking about when it gored three different animals and other, and therefore with him having with other.
Good.
The Tavos Gemara is talking about when it only gored three men. That's Tosos' first answer. I'm saying we're talking about Chazara.
Right.
So if it was Chozer from Adam, it is also Chozer from Behemoth. The third answer.
The third answer is where you can. Was that?
No.
Yeah,
I think he splits it into Hezek. I mean, he splits the Rambam into Hezek and Yareg.
Hezek and. Right. Okay.
So I kind of splits it also.
Yeah. That's, in the Rishonim, the third answer, and that is, can you be Mitzarev Behemoth to Adam? What our Tosfos took for granted, so the Shita quotes in Daf Lamed Zayin that our Sugya is discussing being Mitzarev. Can you be Mitzarev three events, two animals and one Adam? Or whether you cannot be Mitzarev? Can you, does the fact that you have Adam as one of them, does that create a chazaka altogether? Alright, so what does our Tosfos point out? That the sugya in Daf Lamed Zayin is straightforward. If an animal is clearly a mu'ud for animals, machlekes Rav Zevin and Rav Papa, as to whether that animal is a mu'ud for Adam. What it sounds like our sugya is discussing is not what our sugya is discussing. That's the sugya in Daf Lamed Zayin. Our sugya is discussing whether if an animal gores two animals and a human being, so is that animal considered to be a mu'ad for everything? Nogach odom shor v'chamor davim misholish minim havi mu'ad lakoil avol nogach shor v'chamor v'gomol lo havi mu'ad l'odom. Afal gav de lochol behema havi mu'ad. All right. So we explained on Thursday that the machlekes Rav Papa and Rav Zevin lechayram Rav Papa, the situation over there is when the animal gored shor v'chamor v'gomol. Is this animal a mu'ad for human beings, or that a shor gored three human beings? Is this shor a mu'ad for animals? So we pointed out that l'chayra there's no way to be certain of either shita, because the argument goes both ways. It only gored, maybe human beings get it angry, other animals don't get it angry. So since there's no way of knowing, they're arguing about what is the din of Safek. L'chayra that's mukhrach. All right, that both Rav Papa and Rav Zvid, their arguments are accurate arguments. So if they both have accurate arguments, what are they arguing about? L'chayra both have to admit that they're mesufah. No one can say with certainty that they know that this animal is scared of human beings and not scared of other animals. L'chayra both are reasonable. If both are reasonable, so that means that's goof of the machlaikas. Is, according to Rav Papa, that mu'ad la'odam is not mu'ad la'behema, that means that the Torah did not expect me to be chayshesh for the suffix. And according to Rav Zavid, the fact that mu'ad la'behema is, the fact that mu'ad lebehemos mu'ad la'adam, right? Mu'ad la'adam, so the other way around. Then mu'ad la'adam is mu'ad lebehema. So Zevin holds that the suffek, that this animal is now, since it takes on the tougher targets, it takes on all targets, that is a suffek that we have to be chayshish for. So l'chayra, if we look at ha'odah as a birur, it's very hard to understand how Rav Papa is going to be arguing. What would they be arguing about? Both have to admit have a suffix. What was a mevara? The animal gored three human beings. Both admit I have a suffix now. What was a mevara?
Now there's suffix.
What was that?
Is mevara the suffix?
I don't know if that's called a biri. Mevara, then I have a suffix.
Yeah. And then okay. Now you have a suffix, and which side do you know that to?
Okay,
you care more about people's.
Yes, I don't. That's not called a beer. I mean, it's just a question of blood. That's I upset the cheskas tamus.
Okay.
I created a suffix. Beer means I can evaluate the suffix. A beer. The question is, did I create a suffix? I'm a choshish for the suffix. Right. Both agree that that I have a reasonable doubt. The animal gored three human beings. It, clearly, it's a mood for human beings. I have a suffix now. Whether this animal will gore other animals. I could say, logically, if it gores human beings, it gores other animals. I could say, no, it's mostly only for if human beings annoyed. So I have a suffix. So the machlokes or problem zvid is, was the Torah teaching me? Right, again, so this supports the idea, or maybe can only be understood, if we see ha'odah as primarily a chaloshem mekviyoshem. If you look at ha'odah as birur, then it was very hard to justify either Rav Papa or Rav Zvid.
Can we say birur again? What does it mean?
Birur means I'm clarifying.
Yeah, so you're clarifying. Like you had a cow which was very normal, didn't do anything, and then you clarified this cow is violent, possibly very violent.
That's called creating
itself. You clarified something.
You created a suffix.
Yeah, like you don't have a word. Mevara the shore is a nacham.
But
you're not
sure
if it's constricted to whatever it was.
We may have been mevara that the shore is a nacham for human beings.
Yeah.
Okay. Now the question is the shore a nacham for other animals?
Machlokas be that they're both going to agree that whatever their rule is, there are going to be exceptions for. So Rav Zvid is going to say if it's a nachum for one thing, it's a nachum for everything, unless proven otherwise, which means that there are shvarim that fall on a certain sense of spectrum.
Yeah.
And the Pub is going to say that it's only a nachum for that, unless proven otherwise, which means, I understand why they have to be the. That's creating chalos. It could be mevara, but certain shvarim fall on.
No, because if you and I have to admit that we are both logically correct, or not correct, we both have logic. Both our concerns are logical, and nevertheless we are deciding differently,
mm-hmm.
Right? So then we could not be mevara anything. We could only be discussing what to do when you have a suffix. Right? You and I both agree to disagree. Right? We both agree that all we know is the animal gored three human beings. We both agree that we don't really know what that means lagabi other animals. Right? Because logically, you could say it's for sure going to take on easier targets, or logically, you could say I only have evidence for other animals. Right? And I could argue that people excite. This animal, animals don't accept this animal. So that, l'chor, we have to both, that's, once we cannot, neither of us can prove that, we have to accept that those are logical possibilities. So what would force, and I think it would be very hard-pressed to say that one of them did some kind of experimentation and found that there was, 40% of all shvarim that gore, human beings also gore, because if they would have that information, they would tell us that information. Right, so the Chayra, what they are saying is we have a suffix, but we are passing differently in the suffix.
It's called a haga. Like, how do you act?
That would be correct. That would be accurate. Right, kviyashem and haga. In other words, we both are not saying that we have any great beer over here, but we understand the din deiraisa of mu'odos. That once I have a reasonable suffix that this animal might be a dangerous animal, That's the chal Hashem of Ha'odah. Once I go into Beis Din, and you can prove to me that there's a reasonable suffix that's not proving. You can raise, you can open up the question. You can say there's a reasonable mashal l'ma adamer daimen. Mashal v'dugma, nothing, just a mashal. To get a restraining order. Right? So you don't prove it to get a, what's it called in, when you ask a court to intervene, something that doesn't sell a product you can collect from it. An injunction. Right? To get an injunction, to get a restraining order, you don't have to prove. Right? You have to create a reasonable suffix. Right? If I want to create an injunction that you cannot sell your property. Why? Because I need to be able to collect from the property. So I don't go to Beis Din and say, here I have proof the guy owes me money. That's called adjudication. I have to raise a reasonable suffix that you owe me money. So therefore Beis Din has to give me an injunction so that I'll be able to collect from that. Right? And at Beis Din, and in a court, I have to raise, in order to get a court date, I don't have to prove that you owe me something. But I have to be able to show that it's not a, what's the word? No. When something is totally unnecessary. What's the English word for that?
Superfluous.
Is that?
Redundant?
No.
Excessive.
Could be excessive. Something is... Something, if a person does something and it's. There's a word for that. That's a better word. But I have to be able to prove that I'm not just wasting the basin's time. I have to open up a reasonable suffix. Right? So so over here, Rabbi Zvid is saying the Torah says that if I can create a reasonable suffix, that this shore is going to gore anything in its sight, so then it's a mu'ud. That's a chal Hashem. I haven't been varer anything at all. I also varer, it'll go three animals. And the Papa said no, that mu'ud la'odam stom le'evam mu'ud le'evam. That the Torah did not say that kind of a suffix already creates ha'odah. I have to go to Beis Din. If I go to Beis Din, I say, Beis Din, look, it's gored three human beings. So the Zavid would say, I haven't proven anything, but the Torah was keveya, that's a reasonable enough suffix to say, we're going to give a new chal Hashem. That new chal Hashem is called ha'odah. The new chal Hashem is called the achroi to protect the animal. Mashiach Kain, Rav Papa would say, done nothing. All I've proven is that the animal is a nagchen for other animals, for human beings. The fact that I can now logically argue that it will gore, I haven't moved away from the chazok of Tammuz in with respect to that at all. So that the fact that I've created some suffix, that's not enough to make the animal into a mu'ud. All right? Now, we're not finished. Why? Because our Tosfos says that Rav Papa will say that if the animal gores Odom, Shor, V'chamor, so now it is mu'ud la'koil. Right? Mu'ud la'odom. Have a mu'ud lebeim. What does that mean? That an odom can be used to conjoin shor v'chamor. Masha'en ekein, different pshatim over here. Arta says, but if it gores shor v'chamor, poor shor v'chamor, so our Gemara says, then it would not be mu'ud l'odom. Our Tosis, it would not be mu'ud l'odom. It would not, but if it gores short, no, right. And the third day that we quoted in Daf Lamed Zayin says that if it gores shor pora v'odam, It is a muad la adam and not muad la bema. We're not going to go into that for a moment. We're just going to this. So Nar Rav Papa says, if it gores shor por v'chamor, if it gores shor por v'chamor, it's not. It's only a muad for bema. If it gores shor por v'adam, then Rav Papa's maskim, then it's muad. Then it's a muad la adam as well. Avol nogach odom shor v'chamor v'shosh minu havim muad lakol. Avol nogach shor v'chamor v'gomol lo yavim muad l'odom. So it can gore one human being and then we say it's a muad lakol. So now according to Rav Papa, why, I understand according to Rav Zavid, why this animal is a muad l'odom as well. Because if the animal is a muad lebehema, if this animal is a muad leadam, and it's muad lebehema, so it makes sense to say that if the animal is gored shurva chamor and adam, I created enough of a suffix to make it a muad leadam. All right, that I understand. But according to Rav Papa, that I needed, that creating a suffix was not significant enough to call it a muad. I have to have, whatever you want to call it, the three events. I have to clearly show that it's no longer happenstance or coincidence, or maybe Effie would say I have to show it's a birur, and then I get a chal Hashem could be. Why would Rav Papa say that if it gores shor v'chamor v'odom, I now have ha'oda for oda? It's only the oda once. So that's what we pointed out, that Rav Papa also accepts the idea that ha'oda is not a birur, that ha'oda is a leidas ha'sofek. Just Rav Papa's requirement for the leidas ha'sofek is stricter than Rav Zavid's requirement for leidas ha'sofek. Everybody's saying that the animal becomes a muad, and muad is a chal Hashem, and muad is not a birur, and muad is a response to a reasonable suffix that this animal is a mazik. And now the greater achrayas, the machlokes Rav Papa and Rav Zvid, based on our sugya, is what's considered to be a reasonable suffix. Rav Menachem, we could speculate, does not accept this dachistic distinction in Rav Papa. And Rav Menachem would probably say to Bali Tosfos that your explanation of Rav Papa falls short. He would say to Tosfos, you said in Rav Papa, we learned in Nef Lamed Zayin, doesn't say that a latest asofik is enough to create a ha'oda. So if that's the case, then if it gores shor v'chamor v'odom, you haven't created enough a latest asofik. Rav Nachum would say you're inconsistent in Rav Papa. It's easy. Chad v'chalak. Rav Zvid said, let us have good enough. Rav Papa would say, I need a beer. No, shor v'chamor is not a beer. If anything, maybe it's three coincidences. So I understand why Rav Nachum would not accept Tais v'shita. Because the very understanding of Rav Papa's Zvidla of Zion would seem to argue against Taisa's understanding of Rav Papa and our sugya. However, and therefore Rav Menachem is consistent based on what Zev said before, that we're looking at Chazara and whether the Torah was Keveya, that once, that when an animal is a Nagchun for Alminim, so is backtracking on one kind of a min, does that unravel the chal Hashem that was established? All right, that fits in very, very well. But our Tosfos, at the end of the day, seems to be saying that Rav Papa also understands that ha'odah is not a birur. But what Rav Papa argues with Zavid is what is considered to be a significant Leidas HaSofik. So if the animal gores three animals, there's no Leidas HaSofik that is going to gore a human being. Not enough. No reason to even raise that question. And our taste is not on top of Rav Papa. Rav Papa says that her order is a Leidas HaSofik, is a result of a Leidas HaSofik. That her order is a chalashem, that the terrorist says, I cannot prove that this animal is going to gore. But there's enough of a concern, enough of a doubt, that places a chrayis on the owner. Right? I can't prove that this balabayas is not really the balabayas because he hasn't come in 3 years. But I have enough of a suffix that the burden of proof now shifts. That the chazaka now shifts. I don't know who's the muhsak. Is the muhsak the guy who's sitting there, or the muhsak who has the title of the property? I have two reasons. Usually muhsak is I have title and I'm living. Now muhsak calls a split. So who's the muhsak over here? So we learn from Shor, so we learn from the din of Ha'oda that sometimes we shift chazakas based on a suffix. A suffix can upend the chazaka. So this animal, the cheskas tamus. So a suffix can unsettle that chazaka. What kind of a suffix? So this is where our Tosfos says that's the nekudas hamachleg between Rav Papa and Rav Zvid. Is the suffix a suffix that, according to Rav Papa, we could have said, Suffolk is not enough to upend Cheskas Tamus, but our Tosfos says no. Our Tosfos helps us understand the sugya of Lamed Zayin. That Rav Papa would say, Shor, Chamor, and Odom, that's enough of a Suffolk. Shor, Chamor, and Para is not enough of a Suffolk to question the Tamus Lagabe Odom. But Shor, Chamor, and Odom. So now we have that the animal is a goring animal. So that once we have it's a goring animal, so I don't know exactly how to read this. Do I say that it's three separable events because there were three different targets? Or do I say no? The animal shows for carrot. That's not a shavah shavah. So a suffix that's raised by a tzadah shavah shavah, that's enough of a suffix for a papa. Right? If it's goring three different animals, Sarah Papa says the Tana Shav Shaban is animals. So I can't, there's no suffix with Aviyoda. Did I get it right? If it gores three human beings, Sarah Zavid says I have a suffix that maybe this animal's goring anything. It went to start at the top. And Rav Papa was, what's the Tzad HaShoveh? Tzad HaShoveh is animals, as human beings. I can't go beyond that. But if it gores a Shor v'chamor v'odom, Rav Papa said that Tzad HaShoveh can raise a suffix. Enough of a suffix to be called a Hodom. Right? I haven't been Mavarer. But that's how we would be back. So again, Yoytze Mikol Zeh. Yoytze Mikol Zeh is we opened up the Yesoides of Mu'ud and Tam. We mentioned the ideas of whether it's a Bira or whether it's a Kvi Hashem. We brought Rayas for the position that it's Kvi Hashem. And we went forward in explaining that it's based on the Kvi Hashem. And then we pointed out what's a good Hezbir of the Machlekes Rav Papa Rav Zvid. And then after that, we came to our sugya that says our sugya seems to go up against Rav Papa entirely. And Tosfos has, and the Rishonim have to resolve that because our sugya is quoting a din d'oraisa, could not go up against Rav Papa. So we have three mahalchim of how to explain our sugya. We focused on our Tosfos and Rabbeinu Menachem. And then we explained that once we understood Rav Papa and Rav Zvid, so we can explain our sugya, Rav Papa in our sugya, we can explain why Rav Nachum would disagree with Taisa's explanation of Rav Papa, and then we went on to explain how we would explain Rav Papa and Rav Zavid with our sugya. One could look at it a little bit differently. One could say we simply want to understand what does our sugya add to the sugya of Nechlam Zayin. The Iker sugya of Nechlam Zayin. Our sugya is a one-liner, so to speak. So what does our sugya add to the Nechlam Zayin? So we could say our sugya at the end of the day, either if you saw the Magid Mishnah, you say our sugya is Rav Zavid. Keep on going. It's not a problem. Okay?
It's not adding anything.
With that?
It's not adding anything.
Al-Khara, going to Rav Magid Mishnah. It's a vid suya in our problem, and that's why the Rambam says possible is vid. Right. Alright? But Taisus does not say that. Taisus, our sugya, is a different sugya from Lamed Zayin. Alright? So the Bali, so now, what does it add? So Al-Khara, it helps us articulate Rav Papa. It helps us explain that Rav Papa is also Choshesh V'Safek. It helps us explain that we should not say Rav Papa has a significantly different understanding of the Yesoid of Mu'odos from Rav Zavid. Rav Papa also is Machshav Sveikas. He's Machshav at a higher level of Safek. And then we can go a step further and be Magnir V'Tachlus Hadiyuk, that he's Machshav a Safek that's raised by Tzad HaShavu. And the Rav Zavid is Machshev a Sofek that's raised by Svara. All right? Good. Go ahead, Meir.
Can one possibly say the reason why Tosos doesn't want to throw away Pasim like Rav Zavid is because we Paskin on Mam Zayin? Like you said, you can teach the Lomar.
Correct. Yeah, it's from that. Correct. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Good. So tomorrow we'll go on to Michal Yekarna. We left, made some important hours of Karen at the very beginning, but I think we'll hold off and go on to Michal Yekarna. Okay.
Oh, Rika.
Yes, absolutely.